This morning, we are going to check in with Erica Paquette with Women in Safe Homes to speak about youth counseling and youth programs. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me. And yeah, what support services are available for youth?
So in 2020, we received a grant through the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault to provide mental health counseling services in the school district. And so that's a partnership with the Ketchikan-Gateway Borough School District and Ketchikan Indian Community. And so right now we have a licensed professional counselor, Samantha Funk, who is an employee of WISH, but she is in this school mostly at the high school, and we have some hours in public health too, and then travels around for secondary schools. So that service has been available since about October, where students can walk in and meet with her at whatever point. If they want to be seen, you know, multiple times, they, you know, we do the whole parental consent and everything like that, so they can get the services in the school during the school day. And it's really meant to be like an interim service. So we know that our wait lists are really high and we have a shortage of mental health counselors and service providers. And so it's meant to make sure students can access services quickly and get started on the healing process and get referrals to services and everything.
Are they normally referred to a counselor, or how do they hook up with a counselor?
Yeah, it just really depends on what their need is. You know, it might be something. So we do have, you know, we provide services for some people who have experienced trauma. Our criteria for the program is maybe you've come from a home that there was violence, or maybe you've been the victim of assault or something like that. But also we kind of acknowledge that our society in general is kind of violent. So anybody is welcome to come in and talk to them. And so if it's like a higher need, of course we are mandated reporters. So if somebody discloses harm, child abuse, child sexual abuse, something like that, that has never been brought to OCS or law enforcement, we would have to make that call. But if a student's just coming in and they feel like they want longer term services, then we would help refer them out. You know, a lot of times it's to Community Connections or another service provider here in town, but it just allows them to see somebody really quickly.
With the pandemic, I imagine it's even tougher, tougher on the kids to cope, but also tough to be able to give services.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, we've been really lucky in Ketchikan. Our second, so we have two aspects of that program. One is the traditional counseling, but then we also have a behavioral health aide that's an employee of Ketchikan Indian Community that's in this school as well. So they have hours at K-High. They now have hours at Schoenbar that'll start this week as well. And so that's for more like, maybe you want to do some art therapy or, you know, examine subsistence harvesting as a mechanism for healing. And so they can help facilitate that. But with a lot of shutdowns and quarantines and stuff, that person hasn't been able to like launch groups and things like that. But we are kind of getting that situated now where we'll have groups, and then we've built that capacity for if they need to go online. We have HIPAA compliant software, so people could still do online telehealth. So the services, yeah, you don't have to be in the high school. You don't have to walk in. We have multiple ways that you can reach this counselor. So, and two, if you're a homeschool student or everything, you still have access to this, and we have different, you know, secure locations where they could meet.
You mentioned a grant being received so that this program sort of started in October, but there were ongoing programs anyway, correct? I mean, is this something supplementing?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of prevention education in the school district, and one of the things that we got this program going and we decided to, you know, apply for this specific service is that we just, you know, being in the school, talking about child abuse, child sexual abuse now, basically preschool through 12th grade. They're all mandated to get this through the Alaska Safe Children's Act. And we are so grateful to our school district because they have really gone above and beyond. At first, the mandate, there was no time, no nothing, but we are in a lot of classrooms 4 to 5 times a year talking with students. So we know we were getting a lot of disclosures, right? As kids start to think back on things that happened to them, you know, identify them as potentially like having been abused. And so, you know, we make the mandated report and then the kid's on a wait list, you know, for months to see a mental health service provider. So we really wanted to make sure that we have that interim service. And so we applied for one grant that we got through the state. That'll be at least two more years. And then we went and we got a federal grant as well to provide the same service in the elementary school. So that one is, we're in the planning period for that. But by next school year, we'll have the same service, the behavioral health aide, the counselor, a licensed counselor, and they will work across the elementary schools, being able to provide, you know, school counselors are, you know, they have different training. And so they'll be able to support the youth in the district while they're on those wait lists that can be, you know, super long.
And are you seeing greater need for services?
I think on the youth end, we know that, you know, disclosures and stuff have gone up. And then we look at kind of the YRBS data. So some of the things, you know, go up and down. Have students been the victim of, thinking secondary 9 through 12, take the YRBS. And we know 8% of students in the 2019 YRBS said that they had been physically forced to have sex before age 18, right? So pretty significant. About 9% of our Ketchikan High School students and 20% of our Revilla students said they had been physically, hit, slapped, something like that by an intimate partner in the past year. So we know Alaska has extremely high rates of violence. And also, you know, thinking about teens specifically, it's something maybe that we're catching up on, acknowledging that teens do have serious, you know, relationships and they, you know, are already experiencing these things pretty young. So as far as need, we know students are more stressed out too now than ever. They've had their social support cut a lot of times. So that's why we encourage, even if you don't feel like you meet the criteria, you can, you know, walk in and talk to Sam or Tammy or schedule an appointment to talk with them, just, you know, to be able to get some things off your chest and maybe learn a little bit. We really want to, you know, this interim service is meant to provide some healthy coping mechanisms for people.
And you said, I believe, YRBS?
Oh, yes, the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. Yeah, so that's done every 2 years in the school district. If you are a parent of a teen, we really encourage you to make sure you sign that consent form so your kid can participate. It's totally anonymous, but it helps us collect that data to see, okay, what is the needs, for the students, and it's this range of questions, like the last time you were in a car, did you wear a seatbelt? You know, all the way down to the violence, bullying. Did you bring a gun or knife to school? When's the last time you smoked or vaped? Like those kind of things. So sort of all of our agencies really use that to get a pulse on the community. But of course, any sort of data and reporting, and especially when we're talking about issues like substance use or violence, we assume those numbers are underreported. So when we're thinking 9% of Ketchikan High School students and 20% of Revilla students have been physically harmed by an intimate partner, current or past, in the past year, right? We really want to think, okay, that number is probably higher for sure.
When is the next survey scheduled?
I would have to, somebody at the school district does that coordination. The last time they collected the data was in 2019, I believe. So if things were running without a pandemic, it would be probably the spring of this year, but I'm not exactly sure when they are. But that, yeah, that information is all publicly available too. They have data dashboards. So if you just search like Alaska YRBS on Google, it'll come up with these really great dashboards where you can look at, okay, what are the things that our students are experiencing? So we use that. We use the School Climate and Connectedness Survey. And that one's really looking at what are the supports that students have? How do they, you know, do they feel like they have adults that they trust, that value their opinion? Do they feel like school is a safe place for them? And so we look at all that, of course, and then we try to target what are our programming? What is the need and how can we serve students? And another really important thing that I forgot to mention, really the benefit of WISH and all their programming is that it's totally free. So you can see this counselor free of charge. You will never get a bill, unless you get, moved into these other services. But in that time period, we are building kind of these support systems. And I know the Wellness Coalition is working on some like resource navigator positions, but you won't get a bill. Which is, students, if they depend on their parent to go in and fill out the Medicaid paperwork for them to get counseling, that can really limit their ability to see somebody, And so this, we get the consent form. We have multiple ways to email it out to parents, to have the kid get it, sign it, bring it back, all of that stuff. So we try to make it as low barrier as possible, so people can get help, pretty immediately. And then just in for other, we do have a counselor, an adult counselor on staff at the shelter. So if you've, been the victim of violence and you want to see if you qualify for that free service, you could give our shelter a call at 228-9474 and they can hook you up with Megan.
Okay. And if someone wants more information about youth counseling, what is the best way to get that information?
Yeah, so we have a website, www.wishak.org/youth-counseling. Or if you just go to the wishak.org and kind of navigate through the services, you'll see that page. And it's really geared towards youth to understand what is it like if you walk into a counselor, what are the things that they have to tell people, what are the things that are confidential, and all that good stuff. And they can also right now call my desk. It's 228-4371. Or they can email counseling@wishak.org. And we will be, we're scheduling out groups now. We're going to start scheduling groups through the summer. So through like the school district Empower Schools, we kind of put together documents. We send them to the schools and then the schools distribute them out to parents. So there's lots of resources. And then again, they're all loaded on the website too.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention this morning?
No,
I think we're good. Okay. Thank you very much. Erica Paquette, she is with WISH. And again, if you would like more information about the youth counseling through WISH, we actually will post all those numbers and links that she mentioned with this report on our website at krbd.org under Morning Edition Interviews. But again, you can always just go to wishak.org and navigate through there to find more information.